these two, which support employment and training. And in fact, if you ask me, I think we should expand on these, if anything, because just given the problems that we have. When we met, for example, and we discussed in NEDLAC, it's not like we turned down, I must disagree with Matthew here, that we just turned down their proposals, we rejected it. We've actually said that we understand their concern about labor brokers. That needs to be dealt with through the labor legislation. But for as long as something is allowed, you cannot write tax policy to say exclude A or B or this. You've got to either do it in terms of norms and standards that you have or some objective criteria. And the criteria can't be just done in a way where it's aimed at one company or one type of sector and so on. So I think, we haven't said we won't proceed. We've said, show us how you can actually achieve this. But let some of the issues be dealt with through the other labor processes that we have. And I think Ian from Department of Labor just, I think, gave a nice perspective as well. I think with regard to the issues on capping, again, we're open to hearing what's been raised and if possible to review that decision. We do have a problem that the take-up has actually been tremendous, frankly. Now, it's good if it's not a so-called deadweight loss and it is creating new employment. We'll look at that. We do think that a lot of the benefits are there also for small businesses, so one needs to probably do more in that respect. But again, we will consider it. We don't have a closed mind on these issues. I think the issues raised on training or raised on internships also raise important issues, and it's not clear that we're going to solve this. I think how the CETAs function, how we support internships, those are certainly worth a discussion, and they need to be prioritized. So I'm not sure how it immediately would impact on the bill. That's something we need to think about. But let me just ask some of our staff, that's Malay and Catherine and Anoop, Cecil, Yanga, do you have anything to say just on the ETI and the learnership incentive? Do you want to start, Cecil? Okay.
I think, Malay, you can talk about the issue of foreign workers.
Can I just say, on foreign workers, I remember when we passed the bill, Yanga, just look at the clause. It was dealt with when in 2014. And I remember there was a whole discussion on refugees and so on, that once someone is legitimately allowed in South Africa, you cannot deny people rights. I remember there was a constitutional issue and so on. If someone is undocumented, okay, I remember we had legal opinions and so on, so I'm just trying to prompt my own memory and we'll come back to that because the issue was raised quite strongly in 2014 and there were legal opinions and so on. But yeah, so we can come back to you on that. Sorry, yeah.
Many thanks. So one of the eligible... one of the eligibility criteria that determines whether or not the incentive can be claimed for a specific worker is a requirement to have a South African ID. And then when we passed the bill, we made one extension, and that was for asylum seekers, which is also a smaller group. And that is the only extension that we made there. So otherwise, you need a South African ID.
The wrong one. Okay. On the ETI.
I'm tired of being the staff spokesperson. They're entitled to speak. Just speak. I mean, you're a South African citizen. Valid ID. Speak.
You have a view. I've heard the officials talking about you have to have a South African ID. We know that there's a high proliferation of illegal so-called South African ID. How do you, is there a verification process to that you are certain that that is a valid South African citizen?
Chair, I think, let me try and respond to that one. I think it's a difficult one to expect Treasury to enforce Home Affairs rules here. I think we have made in the law certain provisions. SARS apply to the best of their ability. If there has been a document that has been fraudulently obtained, it's very hard for SARS to verify it. They can't take action against it. But if they do discover it, they will take action. So, yeah.
I've got a problem with that particular aspect. This silo working mentality needs to come to an end. You say, well, it's not our domain, but you are expected to enforce things. No, but I'm just putting it broadly, Che, which is, let's just be cautious about it.
No, thank you, Chair. I just think one needs to understand that there is a joint operation by various government departments, but there is also certain responsibilities for certain line departments. Let me move on to the cap, which the Honourable from the IFP has raised. The cap is not part of the current system. The cap is being introduced as part of the new system of change. And that's why people have raised the cap. So the cap has not been in place up to now. It's been proposed for going forward, and that's why the debate is here, whether we should introduce a cap or not. On the learnership, Chair, there seems to be broad agreement for the extension, and I'm glad that business also support the focus towards the lower skills, which they call lower skills, which we will talk about, more technical skills. We did receive some objection from the accountants, but I think glad that business has not tack on to that particular one. Just on the Wittenberg issue, to try and link the learnership incentives to internship is going to be an administrative difficulty for us. And this is where we'll have to engage the relevant departments here, and the Supreme Department of Higher Education is not here. Because if you're going to extend it... If you're going to extend it to internships, there needs to be some process by which the quality of those internships can be monitored. And somebody needs to verify that there is a real internship, a real training take place. And that needs to be done by a line department. Like in learnership, there is particular provisions how you need to monitor it and verify it, and SARS just take that as a backstop. We have, as a matter of fact, many years ago, considered extending it to learnership, but that proved to be a very difficult process. And I'm not too sure we're going to have a quick answer to that. I'm not too sure if my colleagues want to talk.
All right, we'll come back with a full answer next week, right? What we are saying is there's a considerable sympathy to some sort of response by the government to the sort of project that, Pals has got Wittenberg. But you see, once we do that, colleagues, I just hope people are listening. We can have moral and emotional sympathy, but then we've got to deal with the practicalities. Moreover, we've got to deal with the money issues. Because if you give it to them, as we, many of us feel we should have some accommodation of them, then you're opening the door to others to come forward and so on. So it's something that we thought through. But the committee can, in its report, say that by early next year, I don't think once you plunge into it, we want a report back and some sort of accommodation. We also might want to consider your meeting them, Wittenberg, and also Department of Higher Education and any other relevant department. Now, to ask for all of that to happen before we vote on the bill is maybe a tall order. But let's talk outside this meeting whether that's possible, so that we might not make any changes to the bill, but at least we have very tight propositions, if you like, proposals, in the report and time frames for either agreeing or not agreeing or some measure of a compromise. Then secondly, I think there's suggestions like we must invite the beneficiaries here. Now, how would we do that? Because there's no structure of beneficiaries, presumably, right? And I agree with people who say that. This must mean that the people who say it must also realize that it expands the amount of hours of sitting, and then we have to spill over into days that we don't normally meet and so on. I'm fine with that. It's just that the members have to be here for the days, extra days of sitting. But is there some way, Treasury, can you help us, that we can get some, is there some study done by an academic or something where beneficiaries are interviewed, even if we get some overview of that? Or how would we bring the beneficiaries here? Anybody wants to volunteer, starting with you, Treasury? Not all of it.
Yeah. Can I say, look, it's interesting how Surves did their study. The problem with this is when it's a tax incentive, is we don't, firstly, the people for whom the incentive has been claimed don't know that the employer has claimed it, okay? So it's only the employer who can follow up, like the way I think Surves has done, okay? So I'm just saying from a methodology perspective, it's going to be hard, okay? But the outstanding evidence, I think, and that's where Catherine, and I'm sure she has done this, is the and the rationale for this incentive or the subsidy is if you get work early in life, you just finish school, you get work, or from university or school, your chances in life to get another job is significantly higher. Okay, so that's why we're targeting. We're saying that's what we need to do, get people used to working, get into a job, and then they can go on to other jobs. That's the overwhelming rationale, okay, and the kind of studies that we looked at. Do you want to say something quickly? Okay.
Sorry.
We don't want fruitless trip here.
Just on that, I think that tax data, we will, when we get the next year's worth of tax data, we will be able to look quantitatively at how long somebody who's received the incentive remains in a job and what happens to their employment prospects in the future. But because we only had 1 year's worth of tax data for each individual who got the ETI, it hasn't been possible to look at it in a quantitative perspective.
That's a limited thing of just what we can see from the employer perspective, not what happens after, okay? But we will look at that. We'll try and see, but I know it's going to be difficult just so that you understand that.
All right, quickly, and let's try.
No, just a small one, Chene. When Momo was talking on the employer knowing and employees not knowing, you know, one of the things that came to mind was, you know, StatsSA normally presents all these things, challenges around unemployment and other things. But one of the things that I think is a leg that is not there is to say the kind of things or interventions that we are bringing, whether through ETI or whatever, are they also making any significant improvement? And I think these are some of the things that in another platform, Momo, talk to them, whether them or CSIR and
check if you're coming or going.
Yeah, check if you are coming or going, Momo. He wants me to feel better. Check, Momo, if you are coming or going on all those things. So that, and use some of this, because at least SSA can be able to get information from your side on the claimants of ETI and all those things. And the good thing is that all presenters emphasize compliance with requirements stars and so on. So it's easier to track some of these things, whether it's too much on the table of SSA or CSIR, it's another thing, but those are institutions that can also assist to track on some of these things. Thank you.
Okay, Frank, and then Dennis, and then I'm going to take another quick decision. Yeah.
Just on the question, Chair, of the IDs and
non-citizens working on this scheme. Treasury is correct, it is unlawful to discriminate against permanent people who have a right to stay here, and permanent residents do get an ID in any event. Although you're not a citizen, you get an ID. So
people who are here illegally, not people who are here.
Yeah, no, that's on the crime issue of forging of IDs. I mean, I've heard it said. I mean, obviously that's a
separate issue.
Yeah, it's a separate issue. It's a security issue.
Yeah, no, I don't think. In any case, as I understand it, am I correct, Frank? Even if you are here illegally, you're entitled to the same services that somebody who is here legally, who is an immigrant, is entitled to. Is that right? And South Africans, the court decided that. And it's correct.
Yes.
Nobody can disagree with that. How can we treat people who go to a hospital simply because they don't have and say, no, you must die? Nobody can support that. Now, can we also, there was a proposal that we invite Goldman Sachs representative on the initiative they've got. When are we going to do that? It's next Tuesday that we sit with you again on this bill. Sorry, Esther? Quickly, please. It's 1
o'clock. Just on the outstanding issue that the long-term insurance industry raised, okay, and I saw they had left the meeting and they had a thing. So we are engaging with them to see what their concerns are, and when we come back, we will respond to that as well.
And look, the
because look, it's a
No,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Look, it is a major reform that's taking place, and I think just aligning the tax treatment as we reform, because you don't want that to disadvantage people. There's some principles that's been agreed to, but anyway, we will talk to them as well.
But also, it's quite complex what they were saying. So I would like you to come to this committee and explain simply what the issues are. I don't know that I fully followed it. And I thought, well, look, between now and the time we vote, we need to understand what we're doing, if we're doing anything. So can you come and explain? Sorry?
The measure was there last year as well. So every company gets hit differently.
Yeah.
So there's difficulties.
So what we're saying is that, look, we're not going to agree to anything we don't understand, right? So you will have to come and explain simply, and if need be, we can call them back. But in the meanwhile, if we can meet, what's worrying me a bit is the program, right? Now, next week, Tuesday, you're meant to be here with your response and so on. Are you going to be able to do all of that? Fine. So we're going to go ahead. So the rates and monetary bill we'll discuss next week, Tuesday. Okay? Now, the report is there. If people want to make comments on the report, they can send it, and then we must finish that quickly because we've exhausted that from what I can tell. Now, the next thing I want to raise is SAA. Oh, sorry. Dennis, you want to say something quickly? Sorry.
Yes. Chairperson, look, maybe to help the committee, there is a meeting of this employment task team that is from the CEOs. Okay, they're working because they need to concretize before they make the launch. Which companies are taking, because we have to have firm commitments from private sector companies to accommodate that people over 5 or 3 years, the millions of young people. Okay, that's the one thing, and I think the group CEO of service is also one of the people that serve on this particular task team. So it could be maybe that the committee members can come to Joburg, you know, and then if they want to learn and understand more what's developing. They normally meet at Investec. The 25th of November.
Leave people to go there, but we can send a representative. Okay, we can decide as a committee to send a representative, but we can't release the committee members because we got too much on our plate at the moment. Right, sorry, Makosi, you want to go? Yeah, of course you must go, and I'm about to do so too. Now, on SAE, there's a lot of documentation. I've asked everyone and Alan to coordinate it, right? There's replies from them. We've sent much of it to you. Is Cindy here or goes? Alan, can you check with him? Because Mr. Lees also raised further questions, right? I can't recall, because they get a flood of emails from you and Tebogo and millions of others. I don't know whether they replied, they say, but they'll have to reply to what he asked, right? Because it's his right to ask those questions. Then we also told you we got a submission from OTA, O-U-T-A. That send it out to members. Have they replied to that? That I know they haven't replied to. So they'll have to reply to that, right? So having said that, can I thank everybody, and in particular, can I say one final thing to those of you who are making submissions? There's been a lot of banter and lightheartedness here. You mustn't confuse that or conflate that with the commitment of this committee to actually apply its mind assiduously to your submissions. And as you can see with the bills, we changed them quite substantially. Look at the Twin Peaks bill and so on. So we will give it full attention. But because it's so technically complex when we first confront it, it's only when the research team on our side and the officials on National Treasury side come and we ask them to simplify and break down things, that when we get a better feel for things, that we are far more actively involved in the issues. But that this is a very, very important set of issues, both the LTI and ETI, you can be assured across all political parties is our view, and we are determined to for Parliament to play its role in that regard. Thank you very much. Thank you.